ladies and gentlemen of
the jury,
listening audience, if I sound a little on edge, it's because it has been not only technical issues on my end this time, my end, okay? But we have to talk about this Christmas slash holiday slash finale, real finale.
Have to is a strong phrase.
I don't want any of your holiday nonsense. There's a war on Christmas. We have to be ever vigilant.
I want to say right quick, I would love to know. So Tristan, you haven't been on the Ninja Steel episodes in a while. I'm sure you're a big fan. You're a big fan of the season, right, Tristan? You love it. B+, right? You love it. It's great.
Ninja Steel, great season or the greatest season?
Oh, so here's the thing. Ninja Steel. I have not watched Ninja Steel since the last time I was on to talk about Ninja Steel.
Oh!
Yes. So
technically, you have a better impression of it than we do.
Possibly. I kept meaning to come on and say basically that. But, you know, technical difficulties, which, hey, we're still kind of having. Isn't that right?
Hey. All right, so I'll put you down for great season.
You know, honestly, in your mind, it's better because you haven't seen it. So, like, in your mind, it's like, maybe it's not as bad as they're saying, right?
I mean, maybe. I think the last one I thought was the debut of the Sixth Ranger. Well, was it the debut or was it the... I don't even know. It was when What's-His-Face was revealed as the Sixth Ranger.
Levi.
That wasn't Levi.
That was like episode 12. Wait, no, it was like eight. That was the Android. It was 12. Aiden.
So then, have you still not watched, or did you try to catch up to watch, and then you're on here now, and
then your spirit died?
No, I sadly, or not, depending on your perspective, I have not watched any of it. And look, I like, if our listeners can go back and you listen and you'll hear me say, like, I'm not going to watch it. And I have so far remained true to that statement.
So statements. Did you watch the Christmas episode or no?
No.
Okay, hold up. Wait.
Tristan.
Pause.
Cynthia Day. How very dare you?
Pause.
Did you not hear me say months ago?
Pause. I understand the whole notion of, yo, I'm not this season, I can't, or whatever, right? I get it. I understand.
Yeah.
However, right?
Comma.
You know, there's this thing called a podcast.
Absolutely.
Watch the thing, even though you're not the mega fan of it, and then you get all this stuff.
Well,
the thing.
Sure, great, but the thing is, I actually said on the podcast that I was not going to.
Yeah,
so then, for me
like,
to come back later,
this
and
is
then,
supposed like, to be your Christmas gift to us.
Empty threats. And you know, we do empty threats all the time, like. Hey, don't find that. We're going to stop talking about this show. And then we talk about the show. That's what we do.
Who does empty threats? I don't do that.
Are you saying
it's going to make it difficult to talk about the episode because you haven't seen it. So you're not going to know.
You know what? We can use this as a teaching moment, right? This is a teaching moment. You see,
teachable moment, yes.
Let's
the question
know.
Is, what's the lesson? What's the lesson?
The lesson is that now,
do your homework.
No. Now that you haven't watched, you get to hear all the things that we have problems with and you get to hear the details. Because
and you will listen to it all. You are not allowed to hang up your jitterbug. None of that.
What? So
I don't even know what that means, but all right.
So Tristan, last time on NPS when you were here.
Previously on.
Yeah. So you were you here when it's been a while. Were you here when it was revealed that Aiden was not really Aiden? Or were you here where Aiden was the Sixth Ranger, but he's not really Aiden. It's like, I don't know, whatever. Were you here when all these people were fans of this Levi and like, oh my gosh, he's amazing and blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, because that was before the break.
Okay.
Right. We put up that episode.
Yeah, because then all the robo stuff was after the break when he wasn't here anymore.
Yeah, there was some random black guy who, like, they tried to pretend for 2 seconds was,
Uncle Tom. I mean, Tom.
Uncle Tom.
Okay.
So that was it.
He could have a niece or a nephew. We don't know.
So, Tristan, okay? So, the Levi, but you know, like, the big beats, right? Like, you know, you're on the internet and people talk about the big beats. Like, you're not going to be like, oh my gosh, that happened in Ninja Steel?
I mean, it's kind of, sort of. I mean...
Yeah, who's talking about Ninja Steel? Not a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's recap, shall we? And then Triskin can let us know whether he knows about this or not.
Tell him about the ribbon tree. Tell him about the ribbon tree.
Point? No, because you know, in fact, this is a very good this is a very good analogy. You know, for what this current Christmas episode was. Because we had to sit through a forced clip show. Usually, we embrace our clip shows and how creative they are by using the theme of a clip show. And you're like, well, we have to have a clip show, so how can we package it so that doesn't feel as clippy? But this one felt very forced. It felt like they forced a clip show on us, and it was shoehorned in. So we're going to use this current episode that we're recording to give Tristan a clip show.
And I was going to say, this episode talks about 5 old episodes. Tristan gets to learn about 5 old episodes. It's perfect.
Tristan. No, not only 5 old episodes. He gets to learn about all the episodes he missed because it's going to be Tristan's clip show.
Remember when like, oh, hey, Levi's a famous person and now he's a Power Ranger and that could be like a really interesting idea? Nope. Mm. No one mentions it. He goes to high school with them, because of course he does. Huh.
What? Okay.
And then nobody at the high school treats him like he's a famous person. Nobody's like, oh my God, it's Levi Weston. I want your autograph. He's just going to classes like it's nothing. Apparently, he dropped out of high school at some point. They don't touch on that, by the way. He's just like, I'm going to go back to high school.
Huh.
All
right.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. So then, you know, the whole notion of like, what's his name? Brody has a brother that he's looking for, maybe, sort of, kind of. Well, he finds his brother. It just so happens that Aiden was some pasty white guy. You hear about that?
He just shows up and says, I'm your brother. And then he just hugs him and says, okay, cool. All right.
But it's like, oh, great. This is epic.
Yes. Yeah. Everything is still epic, by the way.
Everything is still epic. And finding his...
Well, of course.
Finding his white brother. I mean, I guess, you know, because his dad's white. So, you know, I mean, you can make...
I mean, he just forgot what his brother looked like. You know.
Okay. You don't know facially what he looks like, but yes, the skin's the problem, because Facially, you change a lot in 10 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like, but the skin, though. The skin, yeah,
the skin.
Though.
The skin's the issue. The skin's the issue. He, well, might, I mean, you know.
Why
might...
is it an issue? Because this is Aiden. This is his real brother, guys. Like,
he
this
went
is
to the... a reverse tanning booth.
He. This is his real brother who happens to be very white. Like, what is the problem?
And so Brody invites this guy onto the team. And he's like, oh, yeah, guys, this is my brother. It's great. Like, he can hang out with us and do training. And Levi, who is the real MVP of this season, by the way, beautiful, is like, yeah. I don't know about this guy. He seems a little shady. And Haley is like, yeah, he does seem a little shady. Brody's like, no way, guys. No, man, he's my brother. But actually, Aiden Bot is actually a robot. And he's working for Matt Amodius.
Who somehow managed to steal his memories, put them into the robot, and then what is it? They like touch the frog gun or shoot him or something?
No, no, no.
And-
what happens is that Levi, who, you know, spoiler, is the actual brother. Oh my God, who knew? So he's fighting Aiden Bot, and then the Rangers run in, shoot their frog guns at the robot, and then that somehow transfers the memories from Aiden Bot into Levi. So that he remembers.
So if Aiden Bot was touching anybody else when he got shot, they would get like extra memories, I guess.
So like a
remember, hysteria, or, you know. Frog guns transfer memories.
And then Brody is singing for like some talent show thing poorly, by the way, because he can't sing. And
nor
all of a sudden,
play a guitar properly.
Nor can he play guitar. And then suddenly, Levi's just like, oh, I remember. And then he just jumps on stage and they break into a duet.
Mm-hmm. And then Brody instantly accepts Levi as his brother because, you know, he hadn't just been tricked by a fake brother or anything. No, no, no.
No,
so, you know,
he knows the exact same song. Like, that means that they're brothers.
Yes. So that's
and then
fun.
Levi's like, so are we going to call you Aiden? And Levi's like, that'd be too confusing. And we already put it in the main title. So let's keep calling me Levi. And they're like, sure, fine.
Right. And my name's already on that ribbon. So like,
Oh, the ribbon.
Okay. Preston's dad is Asian dude that loves money. They vaguely mention the fact that the mother is dead. Kind of, sort of like wish your mother was still around. And he's like, I'm going to tear down this giant tree in the middle of nowhere. It's the only thing stopping me from building a bunch of buildings everywhere, even though it's obviously like an area where a bunch of normal houses are, you know, where you wouldn't just throw a giant building. But it's whatever, because there's a giant ribbon tree. And then all of a sudden, one ribbon falls out of the tree in between Preston and his daddy, and he's like, oh, I remember, this is the ribbon when you were born. We came here, and your mother had me put the ribbon on the tree, and I'm not going to tear this tree down anymore.
And this ribbon just falls off the tree. Like, there's nothing in the episode sets it up. Like, nothing at all. It's literally just, they're having their big, like, climactic yelling at each other, and then this ribbon suddenly falls. It just happens to land right in Preston's dad's hand.
It is the Ninja Nexus ribbon. He's there to just solve everything at the last possible second with no actual explanation, thought, lesson, anything like that. Just happenstance. Boom. Oh, and guess what? Guess who's the most effective villain of the entire season? It's not Galvanax.
No.
It's not Matt Amodius. It's not Ripcon.
It's not Cosmo Royale.
Nope. You guessed it. It's Victor and Monty.
What?
So in between having logging looks and weirdly being more compelling characters because they're actually allowed to have some measure of conflict, we're kind of jumping around, but that's fine. You don't need all the details. Is that somehow Monty invents a super magnet that, unbeknownst to the Rangers, is able to attract all of their ninja stars away from them. Like, it pulls them through the school to Victor and Monty, and they're like, what's this? And then Galvanax teleports down, and he's like, aha, here are the ninja stars.
Brilliant plot.
And then pulls them to build a bigger version of that super duper
magnet. Like, he kidnaps Victor and Monty, but then is like, build me a bigger magnet. And they don't like react like, oh my God, we're kidnapped by aliens. They're like, all right, cool. It's going great.
Oh, and you know how sometimes in between seasons they have really cool cliffhangers? So Victor and Monty's cliffhanger is they're going to go try to bottle Monty's farts.
Because the way that they escape off Galvanax's ship once they realize that their, you know, their little invention is going to be used for evil, it's like, oh man, what are we going to do? We got to escape. So what they do is Monty is eating like alien slop through the whole episode because he's hungry. So then like Madam Odious, remember, who's like, you know, big, you know, like almost pretty much second in command general, right? She gets taken out by Monty's farts. Monty's farts
and all of the
stop
robot
the general.
The robot foot soldiers also get taken out by farts because robots can be affected by stench.
Wow.
And so all of the Rangers are kidnapped, and it's just Brody and Mick, you know, Mick Canick, our favorite guy in the world. And so Brody's like, what am I going to do? I don't know. What am I supposed to do? I know. I will just throw my star in the air and destroy it with my dad's old crappy sword. And somehow that manages to make the Ninja Nexus Prism show up, take me and Mick inside of it, create three versions of the Red Star, shoot me and Mick out as both Red Rangers again, and a third Red Ranger, which is my dad, who just so happened to be stuck in the Ninja Nexus Prism the entire time. And yet the fact that this prism can do anything at any time, at no point did he be like, hey, maybe I should contact my son, or maybe the prism should let me say something like, hey, I'm in here, you know, maybe that'd be a cool thing. Just no. Oh, I've been
should
injured.
Show a vision, you know, because he likes to show visions. Let the legend say, let the whatever. I don't know. Show the father.
Yeah. So, hey, you know.
Okay. So, hold on. So, like, what actually caused this? Again?
No. It's literally just that
we don't
like, Brody was by himself, like with Mick, and he's like, oh man, Galvanax is all over the ninja stars. What are we gonna do? And Galvanax was like, yo, give me that star. I'm gonna kill your friends. And then Brody's like, oh no, but I can't fight. What am I gonna do? So like Jared said, he split the star. Then the Ninja Nexus Prism shows up. It just shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And then
And then
Mick and Brody get taken into the star, then three Red Rangers pop out, and then one of them is Brody, one of them is Mick, and, you know, them trying to be fan service-y and have Kelson finally be a Ranger, and then the dad shows up as the third Red Ranger.
Yeah, no reason.
It just happens. It just happens.
Just because.
He just says, I was really hurt 10 years ago, and I've been in here ever since. That's all he says.
And what happens is all the Rangers are like, what? And then Brody's like, Dad! Then there's like a scene, there's like a mini scene between like Brody and the dad. And then Levi's like, oh yeah, that's my dad too. And he runs up and has a scene.
Yeah, it's a very epic reunion.
And then they're like, Galvanax grows giant and he's like, because he drinks the melted down ninja steel. Like, shut up. And then he grows. And then the Rangers are like, no, Sarah's like, guys, we could do this move that we've never done before, but we're going to do it now where all the Rangers flip into, like, they flip upwards with the Ninja Nexus Prism and shoot themselves at Galvanax, which blows him up. And then they fall back to Earth, and then they're like, oh, the Ninja Nexus Prism is real spent. I guess it's not going to, and no, they very specifically say, we can't use any of our power stars and our Zords are gone.
That's it's important to like, remember okay. that. Remember that.
Remember that.
Just, yes, put a pin in that. Right there.
Oh, and by the way, Madam Odious was on the ship and she used the giant magnet, and like it brought a meteor full of extra ninja steel because they ran out of ninja steel, apparently. And it like got knocked it off course, and now the ship is like in the middle of space with Madam Odious, and Galvanax is destroyed. And because the ship got knocked off course, even though it has like hundreds of monsters on it, The Rangers are like, okay, it's over. We won. All right, cool. Mick's going to go home. Oh, because Mick had a story, in case you were wondering, where some evil chick came, and she's wearing armor that's clearly the Red Ranger's Battleizer, obviously, whatever. And she's like, oh, I'm going to take you Rangers down. And then it's like, oh, actually, my family used to be in control of the planet, in the Lion Galaxy, because we're subtle, where Mick's whole family was. And, oh, they enslaved everybody for years and years. And Mick hasn't seen his family in like a decade or something.
And I'm going to give him this. The moment where we see that Mick is like, I don't trust this Vieira girl. And they're like, why? He's like, yeah, because her family enslaved my people. For a moment, I'm like, yo, that's dope.
Yeah, you thought it was going to be dope. But then, like, 2 seconds later, approximately, he's like, okay, I forgive you. And then he got to talk to his parents for, like, 2 seconds via communication. And he's like, hey, it's good to see you. That's awesome. Skype, I forgive you and everything. And then at the end of the finale, he's like, okay, I'm going to go home and see my parents. And that's cool. And then the whole Brody family, what's their last name again? Brody Shivas. Romero family. They sit around. Two of the three of them can't sing and can't play instruments, but they all play. And they sing a song that is actually worse than I Love You, a Triceralots. It's like their family song, and then the other four Rangers are just sitting there like,
oh, hey. Sarah's especially is like, nope, just gotta pop in her head a little bit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, and that's it. We're kumbaya, and Odie is on a ship, and she's going to find what's his name, Sledge. Yeah.
And let's also keep in mind that Adam Odious is, I guess, going to be the big bad of next season.
Oh no, her son is. Well, from Sentai.
Right. But, like, she's still going to be a major force in this next season, and she got taken out by farts.
That's true. She did get taken out. Oh, also, another great thing. Calvin, his defining character trait is he doesn't like it when you lie about fixing your car.
Because Calvin has a focus episode where he hangs out with the cool kids in school who all dress like 50s greasers.
Yeah, it's straight up like the Jets. That sort of thing, with their little leather jackets and all that foolishness.
Hair. And like, Haley's a little bit like, oh, Calvin's liking these greasers too much. And then Calvin's like, you lied. You said you fixed your car, but you just paid someone to fix it. You're not my friend anymore. Which is, you know, he did act it a little better than that.
What was his line? Did he call him like a jive turkey or something?
No.
No, because his character's name was Ace, and he said, you're not Ace, you're a Joker.
That's what it was. Yes, it was amazing. Although one of the bright spots was that Haley and Calvin had a Don't Vote for Dummy episode. That was good. Kind of.
It was the best Ninja Steel episode, and by that we mean that, like, it approached competent.
Yes. We have decided that we love Haley's actress. She is much better than this show, and we all feel very sad for her.
Oh. and we all love Levi, because Levi's hot.
I mean, yeah. Well, yes. They do have a thing for sexy, dark gold Rangers. It's a new trend.
You know what? First of all, you can take Exigente out of that. So,
well, I said new, like, trend. New trend. Last two seasons.
We just copy. Just copy everything from the last season, right? You know, father, time travel.
Yeah.
It's all. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, we'll get to that.
Yeah. So here's the thing with the finale, because I explained the finale a little bit, right? And in the last episode that we talked about Ninja Steel, we were saying that the finale of this season really kind of echoed a lot of things from another finale that Dino Charge.
Not Dino Supercharge. Just Dino Charge finale.
Just Dino Charge. Where the ship crashes and the kids think that it's over, but it's really not. Where there's going to be a new baddie change because the old baddie died. You have the father situation. Can we just talk about the father situation? Yeah, no, there's a lot of things that repeat.
Introduce a new ranger, you know.
So, so yeah, it is a lot of similar things that repeat that are not good, you know? And so we were like, all right, but at least this is the finale, you know, like we're done. It's a wrap. Put a little bow on it. Done. Right. Mm-hmm. All we got is the Christmas one, and it will probably be some filler thing. Not gonna be tied to nothing. It'll be fine. Lo and behold, we were wrong. We were wrong. We were very wrong. Okay.
It's another, much like Donna Supercharge, it takes place after the actual finale.
Yes. Yeah. That's.
Yeah.
And so it starts off, Sarah's giving everybody presents, and like they're all in like, they all have their presents.
Why are they in school? Like, why are they in school?
why are they at somebody's house?
Although, I'm kind of like Sarah. I'm that person who will write things down, like, all throughout the year. Before Christmas. Mm-hmm,
same.
Although more, it's one of those things where I'll go on Amazon and then save it for later, you know?
That's yeah. Sort
of thing. I won't have a giant book that says Jeremy's diary in bold letters on it. Not big on that, but, you know, same sort of thing.
This show also never got over the explain the thing you just saw. Like, Princess Viera is falling, and Sarah says, oh my gosh, that woman's falling!
Yeah, she doesn't run to help her. She has to stop and say, oh my god, some lady's falling. She has to tell us because apparently she's like the closed captioning. I don't know. Something's going on. All the characters. Yes.
It's bad. It's bad.
So,
it's very bad, yes.
But they're in school giving out presents. Like, I mean, at least be in the base, give that out.
Yeah, be in the base. The base I would accept. You 100. Know,
but mm-hmm. But you can't utilize the space like the school does because, oh my gosh, a monster has to come out and be all like with all the cat puns and with cat jokes because the monster's name is Cleocatra.
After we already had catastrophe.
Yeah, because we forgot to mention, and it's the first one they flash back to, so you know, whatever. So Redbot got an episode, by the way, to like maybe attempt to justify his existence in the show. But it was all about how he was writing a blog where all he wrote was lies, where he was like the hero and the Rangers weren't heroes, and then he was able to make a book deal. Like a publisher apparently tracked his IP address to the school and had a meeting with a robot, and he's totally fine with it. He doesn't comment that this guy's a robot. And then he's able to publish a book in like a day, which is fine. Trent did the same thing with his comic. Not a big deal. But everybody is like, oh, Redbot, we love you. We're your big fans. And then it comes out that it's nothing but lies. Like, we hate you, Redbot. But then Redbot saves a little girl. And then they're like, oh.
That's the crazy part. The little girl from the first episode where we saw Levi, where she was dressing up to win the contest, is like a recurring character. She has 3 episodes. She just keeps showing up. Like, she's the most consistent character in the show.
Okay.
And see, everybody knows that Redbot's book is full of lies, but because he saved this girl, it's like, you're a real hero. Hey, sign my book. I'm not going to throw it out.
Sign my book.
Because that's how... Because the lessons in this show are so ass backwards.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but in that, like I believe Seamus said, in that flashback, the first one, it's Cleocatra's cousin, Catastrophe. So Cleocatra is mad that they got rid of her cousin, right? So she's gonna have revenge on the Rangers.
Right. Yeah. So she freezes all the Rangers except for Sarah, who dodges out of the way. Sarah grabs, because apparently Cleocatra has a time travel device, just because she's a giant clock.
It's not just you freezing freezing people. No, you have to have the time traveling device too. You didn't know that.
So
wasn't Catastrophe the name of Catherine's monster form?
Probably.
I think it was.
Also, it's also the name of an episode of SPD.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. You dipped into that well a few too many times.
So, like, we already have our little time travel device, but that's not enough. No, no, no. Sarah runs outside, and Santa's just straight chilling there. And she's like, Santa, why are you? We gotta get out of here.
Fresno Bob, what are you doing here?
Yeah, there's consistency. Fresno Bob is still Santa. And then, Santa opens the portal from Sliders, and they go in. And then Sarah's like, oh, okay. All right, so this is where the framing device of the episode comes in. And oh boy. Ho, 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 boy.
Stop it.
So what happens is that Sarah's like, oh, because they don't have their power stars anymore, because in the finale they lost all their powers and their Zords. Remember, told you to put a pin in that. Mm-hmm. It's coming back now. Mm-hmm. So Sarah says, I need to time travel back and get our stars so that we can defeat this monster. And it's not, let's go back to, you know, Sunday, where nobody was attacking, right? Because, you know, they never attack on a weekend. She says, and then she says, I need to get their stars individually, because I can't just go to the whole team and ask for their stars.
And they have to be alone.
They have to be alone. I have to find a time where they were alone.
Which, something that, you know, they kind of tear a hole into that theory twice during the episode. Because, she goes to Kelvin and Haley at the same time. That's not alone. She goes to Preston and literally just steals it from him. Doesn't even speak to him. So the whole idea of I have to go alone and convince them doesn't really make a lot of sense. Because if you can just steal it from them, you can go into their room at 3 a.m. and just take the star from them, you know? And you can literally go at any time, because if you're time traveling, it could be, I'm going to take this star from you, jump through the portal. I should jump back out the next second, because I've decided that's when I'm coming back and giving it to you after I've already beaten the bad guy. The timing should not matter.
Is there a limit at all to, like, when she can go to or what?
No.
No.
Nope.
Okay.
She just says alone, and I need to get them to give them to me. That's
and
all
also
she said.
ripping the stars out of the timeline doesn't like have a negative impact or anything. That's fine. Whatever. It's like a Back to the Future situation. Probably takes a little while for the timeline to adjust to that. Sure. Who cares? Right. And we get, you know, our forced clip. And all the while, whenever she time travels and then comes back, she like shows up in this portal in Santa's sleigh. And I will say, there's one funny line in this whole episode where Sarah's like, all right, I gotta get Preston's star. I'll get it during that food fight. And then Santa's like, hey, can you bring me some snacks? She's like, no. It's like, Santa, there's something more important going on here. I can't bring you snacks. Then she teleports away, and Santa's like, no,
I wanted cookies.
It's not much, but I'll take what I can get.
Yeah, so... who does she go to?
She goes to see. She sees her, she goes to see herself first. Yeah. And also, it should be noted that it appears that they shot all of these time travel sequences during the production of the episodes that they're going back to.
You would think so, because I think the biggest indication is the ribbon tree, because
that one took a lot of effort.
Yeah, they had to really put like thousands of ribbons on this one tree, or however they did it. So the idea of rebuilding that tree for one scene where she talks to Haley and Kelvin, doubtful. So
they brought back Uncle Tom. So
yeah, even though he was like barely in the background, and it could have been any dude, honestly, yeah. It's far enough away.
Close up shot of him. It was him. Stop it.
They didn't do a close up.
They did. You could see.
Oh, I must have been looking away. But anyway, so they had to actually plan this in advance to do their, you know, because it's like we have to plan the Halloween and the Christmas episodes in advance. So they actually put some time into figuring out when they were going to film this, which is a little sad, because that means they probably put more time into it than they did, I don't know, 95% of the other episodes. Possibly.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, are you serious? That's a lot of thought and energy. Like,
yep.
You couldn't put some of that to like the real show, like the real,
you know. You say that and you haven't seen it, and we said the same thing watching the episode.
And that's the thing, is that they had to come up with this framing device seemingly, again, unless they shot some sequences later, as early as episode 7 of this season, which means because this finale takes place after this season finale, they had to know where the show was going. Do you know what I'm saying? Which to me says they did know where the show was going to end up, and they just didn't bother to set up anything.
Pretty much.
They planned for the finale to be exactly what it was. Like, you know, like the actual finale, not this crap. Like, they actually planned for the actual finale to be the way it was and did nothing to set up any kind of character arc or introducing any plot elements that would, you know, come at, you know, pay off or anything. Nah, they just decided it was going to be random and Ninja Star would fly out of nowhere and there'd be, and the dad's in the star and rah.
Yeah, so honestly, and I don't hate the general concept. Like, if you have to do a Christmas clip show, the idea of one of the Rangers visiting past moments in order to get powers because they've lost theirs to fight a villain is not the worst idea in the world on paper. It's not. But you need execution. You need logic behind it if you're just going to keep time traveling the entire episode, because God knows we love time travel in this show. It always works out for the best. So, and that's the thing, is the whole idea of, like, I have to get them alone. Why? Didn't explain that. I have to get them at moments, apparently, where they're in the middle of a crisis. Didn't explain it. Like, for Brody, she literally picks the worst possible moment.
She goes back to the finale when he's like, what am I going to do? Like, everyone else is kidnapped. We only have my star left. Like, what am I going to do? She's like, yeah, I need this star from you right now, Brody. He's like, dude. Everyone else is kidnapped. Like, if I give you my star, we could all die. And she's like, yeah, but Santa? So, like, can you just give me your star?
Yes. Like, the worst possible crisis when he's on his own. You don't go back to the beginning of the season when they just got their powers and they beat the first monster or whatever and he's just acclimating himself to Earth. You don't ask him then. You don't ask him on the weekend. You don't ask him, you know, when he's in the middle of cheating on tests. Anything like that. You ask him during the finale when he is the only person left with one star. Well, two stars because motorcycle. But with one star, that's when you decide, hey, I want to go take your star.
And there's a way to have fixed this. Just had Kata, whatever her name is, cat pun. Cleocatra, just have Cleocatra jump through time and Sarah has to follow her. So Cleocatra goes to these random, like, seemingly random moments. And that would explain it fair enough. Again, we would complain that, oh, why didn't she just attack them on the weekend? But this is all she knows about because, I don't know, she saw it on Galaxy Warriors. That's fine. So she knows when these events are. And Cleocatra could say, oh, I'm going to get them when they're alone because I saw when they were alone on Galaxy Warriors. That would
be fine. She just binge-watched Galaxy Warriors.
Yeah, that's ready. See? She could say, like, I just finished the whole season of Galaxy Warriors. See, it would be like a nice little meta commentary that they should have done with Galaxy Warriors, this whole whatever. So she gets all the stars. Then she comes back to present day, gives all the Rangers their stars, and they're able to morph. That's fine. Sure. Who cares? Then things start to get a little interesting because she only got the 6 stars. All right. Then Brody activates his power up, which needs another star that she did not get.
Yes. Yeah, just randomly just activates it because somebody put it. Because
remember, in the finale, when they used up all the prism juju, okay? The prism disintegrated. There was their stars disintegrated.
Okay, the prism, the Ninja Nexus star did not disintegrate. It was, like, burned out. And they're like, it looks like it's...
Sorry. And it was charred. Yeah. It was Cajun. Yeah. My bad. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, this is important for a later scene, though. It's important for a later scene.
Okay, so it didn't disintegrate. My bad. It was just burnt to a crisp. But their stars did. All of their stars. It was sand. And then Mick said, yo... there ain't no more Zords, there ain't no more powers. Y'all done. Y'all's a wrap. Time to go home. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if they had just morphed, would have been fine.
They might still have a bike.
If they had just morphed, they would be fine. In fact, the time traveler is also a gigantifier. So it was, it not only gigantified the Brody that was, you know, just regular old Brody, but it gigantified powered up Brody. Okay? So,
by the way, isn't it nice and convenient that the time travel machine was pink? That the monster showed up with a pink time travel machine that she could commandeer and use for the whole episode.
Very pink, of course. You know, you gotta color coordinate with the girl who is the focus episode, but not really, because in the end, it's really Brody that saved the day. But that's not here nor there.
Okay. Well, I mean, they learned their lesson with the tennis episode, obviously.
So Brody,
sorry, my bad. I need to get this out. I need to get this.
You do it. Do it.
Brody powered up Brody, which that's a star that he don't have. That's supposed to be disintegrating now or whatever. Now he got that power up, and then has the nerve to call on his Zord. Not a time to, I don't know, use Redbot and gigantify him and make him big and make him try to save the day one more time. No. Let's not do that. Let's not use that character that we just have milling about just doing nothing. Now, let's bring back a Zord that's supposed to be disintegrated and not supposed to be around no more. Or at least a star, right? You know, maybe.
Yeah, at least there's no way to summon it. Yes.
Right. Yeah. So where are these stars just randomly appearing? I don't know. At least say, like, if this is a Christmas episode, if you want to go out on a limb and just pull stuff out of your behind, just say, oh, look, Santa got a present for y'all, stars. Like, I mean, nothing.
Christmas miracle.
Nothing.
Yeah, it's right there.
Santa made it snow in California and MMPR. He can do anything.
So they saved the day. They defeated with Cleocatra, catastrophe cousin.
Puss in Boots.
And for me, it's just like, if you want to have an episode, I mean, and there's an ending to the episode, right?
In the ending scene, I should say, in the ending scene, we see the Ninja Nexus Prism, and it's not Cajun anymore. It's perfectly fine. It's like, I don't know. Maybe they may give a little shine, put a little Windex on it. I don't know. But, so this whole episode, by the way, like, yeah, she's chilling with Santa, but, you know, she was just time traveling. But then Sarah's like, you know, guys, I learned a lesson that, you know, it's not about getting presents. It's about giving presents. I'm like, what? When was this episode about that?
I know, being with the people that you love. Yeah, it was being with the people that she loves. And, you know, this is the best Christmas ever because I love you guys. I'm like, you know what, Heffel? You know what?
Didn't she already know that lesson? Because she did give everybody a present. She was super excited about it.
Yeah. So, but then all the Rangers, because she thought that they didn't give her a present. And then the Rangers were like, no, our present is that we called up Santa and you can ride in his sleigh. Which,
and you okay, like Power Rangers are... Because, you know, Santa gives out all these presents in 24 hours. So he is speedy. So, you know, you like this and whatever. Listen, if that was, look, I don't mind them calling up Santa because you know what?
Parents always be doing that.
Santa has a history of being tight with the Rangers, whatever. That's fine, whatever. Like,
that's the thing is that after every like introduction, like team formation episode, the episode we don't see is that Santa comes down. And he's like, hey guys, just want to let you know, I'm Santa. And me and the Power Rangers are usually pretty tight. So whenever there's a new team, I like to come in, introduce myself.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, familiarize yourselves with the way things work around here, right? All right.
It does.
Santa out.
Well, I mean, Santa's a billion years old. So to him, a Ranger team from 20 years ago and the Ranger team now is like the same Ranger team. So he's like, I'll do anything for you, Kimberly. Get jump on board.
But it does again show this thing where the Ninja Steel Rangers never act like anything's like a big deal. Do you know what I mean? Like they see something out of the ordinary that we would consider out of the ordinary. And they're like, yeah, whatever. Like girl rides into school on a hoverboard and everyone's just like sort of, who cares? Santa shows up. Who cares? Sarah, you know, cures hunger in a day. Who cares?
That was Sarah literally cured world hunger. Like, and there's nobody, and she got like a B on it or something.
So what happens is that she made a cookie machine that could turn anything into a cookie. And it's like, okay, sure. But what happens is she's in the park and she's like, you know, selling these cookies. And then some kid runs up and steals some cookies from her machine. She's like, what? So she chases this kid down and she's like, yo, why'd you steal these cookies? Because we were joking, ah, cookie thief. And he's like, oh, I don't have any parents and my sister and I can't eat. And I'm like, whoa.
And so we hold out of school and we can't go to school because, you know, I am hungry and I'm dying. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. It got really real, real quick. So then Sarah's like, here, take my cookie making machine. And he's like, yo, dope. And then later that afternoon, when I guess they're back in school in the afternoon, sure, fine. The teacher's like, Sarah, where's your project? And she's like, well, and then the homeless kid shows up and he's like, no, I apparently go to this school and she gave me her project. And now my sister and I can eat and I can go back to school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm in the same class, so I'm going to have a seat. Hey!
There we go.
This kid had been shown before he stole the cookies, by the way. Like, we had not previously established he went to the school.
Mm-hmm. What we're saying is you're missing out on a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, man, it's classic. Classic Power Rangers.
I feel like I gotta think of more moments.
Yeah, I mean, the best episode was Don't Vote for Dummy episode. Because they were put under a spell, which was a shock. It was genuinely just that Haley and Calvin, because what happened was, you know, Haley comes in and she's going to run for, like, you know, class president or whatever. And this place, I think, that wasn't the teacher like, oh, Calvin, wouldn't you like to run? He was like, no, he's a loser. Something like that.
Yeah.
And Calvin's
She was just ripping her boyfriend a new one.
Because he had been late picking her up that morning. And he's like, come on, baby, you know you love me. And she's like, you know, not right now.
But it was legitimate, like, you know, a decent, like, it was an episode of television. Like, you know, like, you can watch it.
Oh, wow.
And then
like, actually, wow.
And yeah. Pull your eyes out. I was going to say hair out, but I said eyes.
Still, well, with this show.
Shocker, the whole season, Victor and Monty live in this nebulous world where, like, Victor gets turned into, like, a race trophy statue and then tries to flirt with a plastic mermaid. Sure. Okay. Huh.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my favorite is there's an episode where, like, the whole thing is Victor is trying to keep his tennis trophy that he beat Haley for last year, and she's like, it's time for a rematch, and he's like, you can't beat me, blah blah blah, girl, blah blah blah, and he's like, and she's like, I can do it. So the whole big focus is it's going to be Haley's going to try to beat Victor, you know, to show that girls are just as good and she can do it and everything. And then 2 seconds later, the entire episode becomes about Preston
got a book of magic spells from the Lion Galaxy, and Princess Viera is like, yo, Preston, by the way, she very specifically says, you have to learn all the spells in order. If you skip, something bad will happen. And Preston's like, yeah, sure. So what does he do? He skips spells in the book. He accidentally turns Haley invisible, and then he has to learn a lesson. Oh, the most important part of this season was reminded of in this episode, because when Preston's like, oh man, I messed up, Mick comes in.
Yes.
Tell it, Jer, because you're the one who coined the phrase.
Mick and his so-and-sos. Mick basically tries to be some, like, bargain basement version of Spencer.
Spencer, thank you.
Where, like, someone is having a problem, and then Mick just shows up, and he's like, is so-and-so really your so-and-so problem? Well, if you so-and-so so-and-so, then so-and-so might not really be a problem. And then the Ranger's like, oh, Mick, you're so-and-so right about so-and-so. I'm going to go so-and-so. And then, bam, everything is solved. The day is saved. Huzzah, Mick fixed everything. Even though his lessons tend to be a bunch of crap and not necessarily related to the original premise of the episode.
Like, there's one when they did the Halloween episode, which, you know, it was, what happened was that, you know, Levi's playing everybody a song. And remember, they're all big fans of Levi Weston. So he's singing them a song. And then Brody's like, hey, you guys want to play a board game? And all the Rangers are like, yeah. And Levi's like, board games aren't really my thing. And they're like, okay, whatever, walk away. And then the Rangers get trapped in the board game because shut up, that's why. And then Mick comes up and, like, Levi's just sort of jamming by himself. And Mick's like, why aren't you hanging out with the other Rangers, Levi? And Levi's like, oh, they want to play board games. I don't like board games. And he's like, well, you know, they did what you wanted to do, which was listen to you sing. So why don't you do what they want to do? And I'm like, he doesn't want to play board games. It's not an effing crime, Mick. He just doesn't like to play board games. And also, they want to hear him sing because he's a famous person.
Yeah, he tried to be like, well, you know, they
so-and-so
and heard what you want to do, so you should compromise and do what they want to do. I'm sorry. What they want to do was stupid. Okay? It was dumb.
Yeah.
And in fact, Levi was correct in not playing the game. So why on earth is he going to go and apologize?
Yeah. Okay? Levi deciding to do what he wanted to do, if that didn't happen, they all are trapped in a board game and they're all completely effed. So he kind of made the right choice by supposedly being selfish, which wasn't really selfish in the first place.
Yeah, because him saying, I don't like to play board games, I remember writing in my notes for that episode, I said, wow, it's like he's actually a person.
Yeah, he said, I don't like to play board games, not board games are for losers.
Yeah, it's not like he went up to Brody, he's like, loser, what are you, five? Yeah. It's not like it was that scene.
Which it could have been. It could have been. Hello, we're not little kids anymore. Why are you playing this stupid little board game, little bro? What's wrong with
you? It's like, Brody, some of us have jobs, okay? Why don't you get one?
Yeah. Some of us are world-famous singers and can't just sit around, cheat on tests with our watch.
Hmm.
Yeah. So this episode, this clip show. Are you loving our wonderful clip show, Tristan, so far? Huh? You loving it? Loving it?
It's illuminating.
Oh, yeah. There's more Levi goodness. So during the Don't Vote for Dummy episode, like, the monster has the ability to throw its voice and sound like any of the Rangers. So the Rangers end up getting on 3-on-3 teams in the election. And so the monster just keeps calling up the Rangers and sounding like one of the other ones and being like, can you believe this person did this to you? It's so shady. Come meet me over here and I'll tell you the truth and we'll get this squared away and make sure that they don't win the election. And all of the Rangers just immediately fall for it. Like, one by one, they fall for it easily, get captured, and then finally it comes down to Haley and, is it Preston, are like, oh no, we just got a call, we got to go stop him. And Levi's like, wait a second, that's not how they normally act, they don't normally act like douchebags. Oh, you could be right. And then he literally gets a call from Haley while he's standing in front of Haley, and then Haley's like, oh, maybe you're right that you decided to use logic for half a second and not just be angry and completely out of character. We should go beat the monster. It's probably throwing its voice. Amazing.
Levi's, and also, look, they can keep telling us that Haley and Calvin are a couple, but I think, and I know everybody else on here agrees,
mm-hmm.
Haley and Levi have the real chemistry.
Haley is looking at Levi with them hungry eyes. And Calvin is a friggin' nerd.
Hungry eyes, they're watching you.
Like, I'm sorry, but you've got a world-famous, good-looking singer over here, and you're slumming it with the guy who gets, like, super butthurt if you don't fix your own car. Like, it's not a hard choice.
Because that could have been, like, a real plot, right? Where you have a famous person on the team, one that they really clearly established that Haley really likes.
Mm-hmm.
See, the one thing that I could have been invested
in was the love triangle? Yeah.
Well, I mean, with a relationship of any kind, come on, of any kind, that is, like, not just, like, my long-lost whoever, which is, like,
yeah,
the
like,
same crap.
And to be fair, like, Calvin, like, the Calvin and Haley Don't Vote for Dummy episode is a good episode. It, like, it genuinely feels like two people who are having a disagreement, especially who are in a relationship. It does feel like that. So it's like, okay, this is great. But then they, again, squander every, like, the idea of having a famous person as a Ranger. Because in his first focus episode after the break, he had this whole thing about, he's like, guys, I still need to go on tour, so you can take care of the monsters, right? But that's all forgotten about by the end of that episode. He's like, I gotta commit to being a ranger. And, you know, they don't talk about how him quitting his tour means that, you know, hundreds of people are out of jobs or anything like that. No, that'd be crazy. Mm-hmm. So this holiday clip show, wow, so, it was bad.
Yeah. So the holiday clip show extravaganza is kind of annoys me because I'm so done with time travel. Like, I'm so done. Like, I'm done. Mm-hmm. Like, even if it was a good premise on paper, which I believe it's not, but whatever. But, you know, to each his own. But I'm done. Like, you guys, you being Judd and Friends, you can no longer use time travel in your stories. Because you don't, you guys just, y'all just obliterate it. Like, y'all just murder it. You know? So, like, this whole notion of she gotta go and travel in time and get somebody by themselves and all this other what, just to try to shoehorn a bunch of clip shows, you know, because it's not gonna be as fun if she just goes back to one time where all of them are in one place and asks all of them to borrow their ninja stars because, well, a couple of things. A, you just get one clip show, one clip in the clip show. And two, you know, the whole notion of borrowing all of their stars at one time, in one time. So you can't even say place because it's really...
Right.
But yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. It might put them in jeopardy if they're whatever. But bro, like, these folks never, like, attack at night. So then do what Jer said. Just go to their houses. 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. Like, steal their stars, call it a day. No, but
they could have incorporated Santa in it. Incorporate Santa in where she's like, oh, we gotta go through the chimney. You gotta go through the chimney. You could have tied it in a little bit there if you really wanted to, do you know, add Santa into it.
Yeah, you leave a present and you take their star.
Boom.
And then in the morning you leave a plate of cookies next to their bedside, and one of the cookies is their star, saying thank you for letting me borrow your star.
And they'll be like, what?
Yes, but how are you going to incorporate
from your cookie maker machine?
How are you going to incorporate the clip show? You see, it's all about the clip show. You're trying to save the monies.
By the way, the former cat villain was not Catastrophe. It was Cat O'Clock.
Oh,
okay.
Cat O'Clock.
So not even really a pun, but there you go. Cat O'Clock. In our great episode, Past, Presents, and Future.
Oh, God.
Hey.
There was a line in this episode when they're fighting whatever her name is, cat pun, and
Cleocatra.
They're like...
The current, like, one is Cleocatra.
They have this thing, they try to be this epic line where they're like, epic. What was it exactly they said? Where it was, there is more than one way to destroy a cat. I'm like, no, I know you're trying to say skin.
That's not the line.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like you're trying to say skin a cat, but you can't say that. So you just said, like, destroy or whatever the dumb word they used was. It's like, oh, stop. They've done that a couple times this season where they try to say, yeah, like, a cool phrase, but they can't.
They said in the other episode, they said curiosity destroyed the cat. Where it's like, no, nope. That's not it. Oh, God.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's like, be like, oh, have a nice trip. See you next autumn. Like, no. It's
not. What? Falling is dangerous. We can't reference it.
So, okay, this cat monster has been seen twice now?
Oh, well, and it's the same thing in Ninja, where the same cat monster shows up, like, three times, but it's always a different monster.
Right, this is what I was going to say, is, like, look forward to at least one more.
Yes.
Oh, no!
I think
and
it's...
more cat puns.
Is it the monster from the episode that used Ninja Red and Hurricane Red? I think so. Yeah. Because they've cut all of that out. Any time they would actually show you close-ups of those two stars, they've cut those out. Because we can't...
We got to see a nice Wind Ninja symbol once, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like, you know, those two scenes were ever adapted, so we could reference them.
No, it'd be crazy. Right. No. They need to have referenced something that was pre-Jew Ranger for them to put it in the show. That's how this works.
Like, we're not telling you to reference Jiraiya, who nobody knows who that is.
I almost guarantee you they'll find a really dumb way to put Jiraiya in it next season. 100%.
But in no way, shape, or form will we show you Oracle or Shane. Not happening.
Yeah. But I just, this Christmas episode, they need to not do any more time traveling. That's just the fact. Uh-huh. And they need to not have their specials after the finale. Because as much as the finale is not great, then having an episode that's actually your finale and not, you know, like, then it being worse, like, don't do it. Don't do it.
Which is also a shame, because the idea of having like an epilogue finale is a great idea. Like, genuine, like, wow, cool. Like, you get to see where all these characters ended up. And like, that wouldn't that be nice? And I understand this is an action adventure show, so they got to have a fight. I understand. But wouldn't it be nice if it was just the clips of them being like, hey, here's our lives now. We're thinking back on our old times. Like, that would be fine enough clip show. Like, fine. Who cares? Mm-hmm. But because they have to shoehorn a fight into it, they have to come up with some reason why they still have their powers, or come up with a dumb conflict throughout the episode that just doesn't make any sense. So this is like Samurai did a holiday clip show after its finale, but it set it like during the actual season. Was it a little weird to have that air after the finale? Yes, but overall it made more sense.
And then, you know, we've had holiday episodes that, you know, where the Rangers didn't have their powers and we got to see things that were great when they didn't have the powers. I mean, okay, fine. Was it like the greatest story ever? No. Of course not. Right? But it was something different.
If they go to the North Pole, you can't morph at the North Pole. You don't need your power stars there. Cross-current holiday magic.
But how many New Zealand little people actors are there out there that fill out the elf roles?
Just use stock footage. See, the clip show. It's a clip show.
So you mean to tell me that where all those, you know, hobbits and goblins and rings of lords and things are filmed, you can't have me there able to find some folks that are on Tiny Tiny's side?
What you do is you just like, you edit and you squish James Galen and then just use him 900 times.
Oh my God, please.
Just squish James Galen and every elf is James Galen.
Guys. Fresno Bob is great, but what if James Galen was Santa?
Yes.
Just saying.
It'd be nice to have a black Santa.
It would be nice, yes. And then you can have Adele come in as Mrs. Claus.
Oh my God.
Perfect.
No, and then he can still talk about $4 profit.
Yeah.
Be like, I got that. I got that item wholesale. So that's $4 profit for Santa.
He made $4 profit selling some of her fries. It's perfect.
Oh my God. He should take over Adele's company. Like, he should like try to buy her restaurant chain.
No, Adele and James Galen get together. They buy out Jungle Karma Pizza, and then old Santa Fresno Bob shows up and shakes him down. For protection money. Wow.
Well, how does the Southtown Sweet Tooth factor into this?
I'd forgotten about that. Oh my God.
So as always, we come back to the fact that we need more RPM and more James Galen in general. Always true.
Can he be Jiraiya?
Yes.
Make him be Jiraiya.
It's an alternate universe. It kind of almost doesn't exist because of certain people who write the show.
Well, hold on. James Galen is the old, like, ninja master. So he's, like, the original red, like, ranger from Ninja Storm. And he'll show up in that suit, take the helmet off. Yeah. Boom. I was the red ranger before Shane. Suck it.
Which, that would be 100% acceptable. 100%.
Yes.
And then, see, you know, just random Shelby pops up, be like, Dad? Like, nah, B.
Shelby can show up, and her ancestor was the original red Aquatar Ranger. So,
boom. Right there. Which you don't actually know. Shelby's real parents are Billy and that fish lady. You didn't know that, did you? Well, now you do.
It all's connected.
Wow. You know what?
We just put more thought.
How did she end up black with Billy and the fish lady as her parents? Because Billy was the Phantom Ranger.
Oh.
See?
We did it.
So you guys are riding just as well as the current season. Is that what we're doing?
Better.
Hello. Hello. I am Holiday Monitor right now.
No.
I'm gonna put this out there right now. I'm gonna say this, and this is not a small thing to say. I would rather rewatch Alpha's Magical Christmas than this episode. 100%.
No. Alpha's Magical Christmas.
Okay,
I mean, that's,
I don't know,
not crazy.
Because like, I could watch the actual just Alpha talking to children parts, but the songs, like, I'm sorry, 1 minute songs feel like 5 minute songs. They're just they drag.
Especially
that
the lip sync songs, especially Adyard songs. Like, I can't.
They're singing Morgan Basement Christmas songs.
Well, that's the thing, is like, they don't even pick the good ones. They pick like King Wenceslas. I'm like, what? What? No one sings that song. I know it from like church when I was in third grade, but I don't. But nobody actually sings that song. Good Lord, Alpha.
We three kings and money. I'm like, okay, whoa, like, all right,
Alpha's kidnapping children like Galvanax right there. Just, yeah. I'm gonna take you. I'm gonna sacrifice you to Tiger Zord. You're never going home.
God, I can't believe that joke still has legs.
It's a good joke.
Hey, it's one of my classics.
It's still good. I mean, it's the only good part. It's the only way to make that Christmas special any good is to make that
joke. Yeah, it's Tiger Zord fuel. Oh, God.
Yeah. Christmas. So, yeah, no, Seamus, I'm going to, like, not agree with you on watching that. I mean, okay. In terms of Christmas episodes.
Better or worse than Robo Night Before Christmas?
Oh, this was worse.
Yeah, worse, because Robo Knight just existing is still better than any episode of Ninja Steel.
I mean, granted, like, the episode of Robo Knight is, like, literally racist. Like,
oh, wait, that is the racist episode,
literally,
my bad.
Racist, so...
I forgot which episode that was for half a second. Yes.
Maybe this is a
switching better episode with legit maybe racism. Better than this.
Kind of better than racism.
Let's put that as our poll quote on the back of the DVD box right there. When they make a nice Christmas compilation, you know, racist episode better than this one. Write that down.
Yeah. Wow. We are just scraping at the bottom of the barrel here.
It's because we don't want to talk about this episode. It's terrible.
No. Like, I mean, I'm talking about in terms of, like, oh, we're going to rate Christmas episodes. Like, okay, this one's better than the racist one. Awesome. Like, I mean,
there aren't that many actual Christmas episodes, right?
Yeah, because there's the season 3 episode with Santa, and you know,
say, there's two in MMPR and then one in Zeal. But then, do they do Christmas for like a lot of years after that?
No, not really.
It really doesn't come back until Saban claims ownership of the franchise again, right?
Yeah. They don't really call out Christmas as I mean, I'm sure they mention it at some point or another, but you don't get. Well, obviously, then there's, you know, Zeo, you know, Flawless,
right? And, but
I still remember someone like in passing mentioning Christmas, and then Bridge is like, "Oh, I'm Jewish" or something like that.
I think Jack or somebody mentioned giving a Christmas gift.
Bridge is Jewish. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at it, and it says Christmas specials, and it says Alpha's Magical Christmas, Dreaming of a White Ranger, Season to Remember, and then the next one is Christmas Together, Friends Forever, Sam.
Oh, God.
And there's only one in two in Samurai, one in Megaforce, two in Dino Charge, and then this one.
Yeah, Super Megaforce, they decided nah.
So,
well, yeah, so that's, well, you know, the best one. I mean, we don't even have to mention the best. Like,
there's, yeah, like, I mean, who are we kidding here? We know.
You're the
there's
best one.
There's the best. A Season to Remember is the greatest episode, greatest Christmas episode of all time. A Dreaming of a White Ranger.
Just say greatest episode.
You can say greatest episode. Okay. It's
Dreaming of a White Ranger is also good, and then all of the other ones exist.
Yeah. Basically. Oh wow. Wow. Because okay, which episode was the one where it was Mike with the bike?
That was the first one. That was the first Samurai one.
Christmas Together, Friends Forever.
Okay. Oh,
Mike, and... Mike's pretty hilarious. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, he was flipping out. It's Load. It's Load.
He gets his bike, and then doesn't, and then he gives it to Bulk and Spike, right? Yeah.
And then what was their other holiday episode then?
That was the one where the Rangers were trapped in the Megazord, and Mentor gave Bulk and Spike the flashbacks.
Okay, you remember that way too fast.
Right. Somebody had to write a letter, right?
No, that was the first one. That was in the first one where Emily was writing a letter to her sister.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, really, yeah. Like, come on. She didn't have a sister anymore.
It literally says, the only summary on the wiki is, it's Christmas time, and after having defeated a Nylock, the Rangers Megazord broke down, causing them to be stranded and miss Christmas with Mentor G. Meanwhile, Mentor sees Bulk and Spike as they were dropping off a present for Mia and spent Christmas with him at the Shiba house.
Okay, I vaguely remember this, yes. Because, like, the stalking of Spike with Mia.
Yeah, because they remember the time that, Emily was Emily, like yes. crazy military lady,
right?
Like one of the really good episodes of Samurai.
Yeah, one of the few times that one of the actors did something entertaining.
Okay, all right. Wow, that was not memorable at all. Okay, so then, and then the Megaforce ones was
Robo Night Before Christmas.
There's only one Megaforce only has the one.
Oh, it's only the one.
Mercifully. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because we had the Mega Battle War thing, blah, blah, that took up time and budget. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Lord, I can't believe I'm going to say this. But, wow. So, this Christmas episode, Jesus, Mary.
Is one of the best.
It's definitely better than the Samurai 2 episode, especially the Super Samurai 1. That is just the dirt worst.
Okay.
I don't know, man.
Wow.
What about Dino Charges? Dino Charge had Christmas episodes.
Dino Charge had the first one where Poissandra stole Santa's computer, and every time she tried to log in, she got clips. And then at the end, they all had like a giant puzzle from Chase that was like, here's all of us together, we have puzzle pieces, hooray.
That was fine. No, because wasn't there like a side plot about how like Chase wanted to go home?
Yeah,
that was a plot line, right? Yeah, so that was fine
because he couldn't jump in his Zord and just fly
right
there.
Yeah, that's right.
So any of the Dino, both Dino Charges, whatever, they're above, like, just because like, I'm not even, we don't even have
to. Are you sure Brontosaurus with Santa hat, Dino Supercharge, you sure about that? You sure?
Oh, why? Okay, why
is this love so hard?
Why? Okay, so
You're verping a little bit there, getting it in your throat.
Okay. We're gonna start from top to bottoms, okay?
Okay.
The tops is a Zio to remember is duh, whatever. Then Dreaming of a White Ranger, duh. Okay.
Obviously, yeah.
Then Dino Charge, whatever's, okay? Then
Rovanite?
Oh, hell no. Then Alpha's Magical Christmas.
Oh, wait, I don't know about that.
It's hard, y'all. At least I can make fun of it, right? Like, I'll have some enjoyment making fun of it.
It's not a complete assault on your senses. It's also not racist.
Wow.
So, you know.
Okay.
Then the other dino charge. Then... Then this episode, purely because Levi is in it, you
get to look at him. Because Levi is in it.
Because he's in it.
Wow. Oh, Lord.
Are there any Christmas episodes for Masked Rider or Beetleborgs or Mystic Knights?
No, they don't count.
Well, there's definitely not one for Mystic Knights.
Mystic Knights Christmas them. Would be amazing.
No. Masked Rider did have one. It was Phoebus' first Christmas.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Where does that rank?
Ooh, definitely better than Alpha's Magical Christmas.
It does not count.
Is that number three on the list, then? Three on the depth chart?
It does.
Yeah, I would say it's under, I'd probably put it on par with Dino Charge's first Christmas episode. Tristan, definitely.
You need to stop these fools from talking about some rando show in this Power Rangers franchise. I understand y'all are trying.
What about the rando show Christmas? That is in the franchise?
No.
Hey, that's just continuity, okay? Even if it's just, you know, watching on the TV, still in continuity.
Let me ask you, would you rather claim Masked Rider or Samurai as part of this franchise?
Masked Rider, instantly. No question.
Yeah.
Do I really have to choose?
Ectophase, activate.
Is it Sophie's choice trying to pick one?
So no. So then you have Ninja Steel. Okay, so Ninja Steel Christmas episode.
Mm-hmm.
Then what's under that?
I mean, like...
Well, what's worse, just being awful or being racist?
Racist!
Then there's your answer. Then you go the first Samurai, the second Samurai, and then you put racism. Megaforce, then racism at the bottom.
I can't believe that episode happened. Oh my God. Like if when you're just starting to watch the episode, oh, you're like, okay, fine, like Robonite accidentally gets, you know, sent as a present, but then you see where he gets sent and you're like, oh no.
What are you doing?
It's Robonite and all the t-shirts for the team that lost the Super Bowl gets put in a crate together.
Yeah, no, that was I remember that episode particularly, and in terms of us talking about it, and
I was gonna say, because I feel like when that episode aired, like, I was the only one who watched it when it aired, and then I told you about it afterwards, and then you watched it and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, y'all racists.
Johnny T, folks, Johnny T.
The Power Rangers franchise has not had the greatest track records with Christmas episodes. Sort of a better track record with clip shows, but mm-hmm. then when you have to merge them together, it really
the Halloween episodes are pretty okay. You know, we had some okay Halloweens.
Yeah, I mean, it's been all right, but like, I guess my point was that, like, you know, having clip shows is already, you know, already hard enough.
Cause, dicey.
Like, right? And then having holiday episodes, Christmas ones, hasn't been the greatest track record or whatever. So, you know, wait a minute, so Dino Thunder didn't have any holiday thing? It was just like, oh, look, weird. No, I want to.
I think in one of the footage burning episodes.
It was one where, like, someone mentioned, like, Trent mentioned, was it Trent? Someone mentioned going Christmas shopping. Or no, I think it was Kira, actually. But it was all part of, like, Trent's the crazy dreams that Elsa was making them have. So it was a small segment of no, it was Connor. Yeah, it was Connor because he had to fight the monster. But he mentioned, I have to go Christmas shopping. So his dream involved him fighting a Christmas monster in the Triceramax form. But that was like 5 minutes of an episode that was just a burning footage episode in general.
So they don't count it as a Christmas episode. Here's a question. Whatever happened to footage burning episodes in Power Rangers? Remember when those used to be like a thing? Where it's like, hey, we got to use like, you know.
I mean, I think part of it's the fact that there's only 22 episodes. Like, I don't necessarily think they have to burn through footage as much anyway. Because they don't have like. I mean, maybe, I don't know. Again, it's depending on what the budget is per episode. Maybe they're at a point where they're like, we have so few episodes and maybe the budget isn't a lot less than it was when they had 32. So maybe it's like, we don't necessarily need to burn through footage and they skip a lot of episodes in general. Anyway.
Or even 40.
They keep borrowing from other seasons too, you know?
Yeah.
It just seems weird to me that, like, again, they're shooting so much of it. Because, like, you know, it's basically 40 episodes just spread over, you know, 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. So it just seems weird to me that they don't have, like, a footage burning episode so that, like, or just why not make the holiday clip show episode, instead of having a clip show, just have it, like, use all your extra footage. Like, just find some creative way to use all your extra footage so we don't have to sit through an effing clip show.
I think Nickelodeon wants... The holiday. Yeah, I think they really want to have that. Although what's weird is that, like, because Nickelodeon usually when they do holiday stuff like that, they have like a big advertisement where it's like all of our best shows are having holiday episodes, and like PR isn't part of the group, you know? Like,
well, it doesn't get these advertisements. Show.
Yeah, it's on at noon.
Seems weird.
And the only time you ever see commercials for it are when it's on. It feels like. And like they don't, and none of the commercials are ever specific. It's just new episodes.
Do they still release the Christmas specials like individually on home video?
On DVD?
Yeah. I believe so. Yeah, because I know there's a DVD that's the Dino Charge T-Rex with a Santa hat on it. Pretty sure.
So maybe that's like. An incentive to do, like, somehow for some reason those horrible things.
See, I was just saying, yo, geez. Well, then to me, I say, why? Again, you don't have to do a clip show. You can do a footage burning episode and still have it be the same thing. But you know, we're not going to put our effort into, you know, thinking about that. We're going to put our effort into filming sequences for a clip show 12 episodes in advance instead of, you know, planning something good.
That's such a bizarre, like, you put all this effort into a thing that you should know is not great. Like, so, like, an incredible amount of effort and energy, like, into a bad thing. You know what I mean? Like, what? Like, this is the wrong spot to be putting this amount of energy into.
It kind of reminds me of when
this spot to put this amount of energy up into. Oh, like, oh, we're already here. Shoot some. All right, Sarah, just change into like this garb. All right, shoot these lines. Boom, we're done. All right, we're just gonna build our episode. That's gonna be cheap.
Cheap. It's just so weird. It's like there are other ways to save money for this show. I swear to God, like, you don't need to keep shooting all this original footage. Like, use more Sentai footage. There's a way to make it work. I think because they aren't using the framework of the Sentai footage, that's making the show worse. And that's not to say that it should be more like Sentai. That's not what I'm saying. But I feel like they could be leaning a little more into the footage to make the episodes not suck. Like, hey, in this episode specifically, maybe... If you're going to have a fight with the Red Ranger, then I don't know. I guess it should be a Red Ranger episode. Or maybe don't use that footage specifically.
Mm-hmm. Christmas episodes are not great.
clip shows, there's no clip show that's like, wow, that was a really great. Like, you know, even something like, say, Legacy of Power, which is a glorified clip show. It's fun because, you know, they're commenting on all this old stuff. But it's still, at the end of the day, it's still a clip show. It's never going to be, like, the greatest episode of all time.
No, well, I mean, but it's better than
now,
the holiday one.
Oh, yeah, easily. Oh, yeah, of course.
I've just been looking at the DVD offerings for Power Rangers. Oof. And you can buy Robo Night Before Christmas on DVD experience the racism in your own home. And it comes with two bonus episodes. And I'm sure you're thinking, what would be those two bonus episodes? They have to be Christmas related, right? You get the Jungle Fury episode, The Spirit of Kindness. I don't know what that is. I don't.
It's not a Christmas episode.
No. And you, of course, get the Wild Force episode, Team Carnival.
What?
Clearly.
Somebody has a dartboard at like Lionsgate or whoever puts out those DVDs and just was like, what episode is it? Throw a dart on a board. Team Carnival? Sure.
For only $6.96, you could experience the magic of those three episodes on DVD.
So dumb.
I guess you can say you can tie in, you know, the Spirit of Kindness. Okay, it may not be
Christmas. Sure.
But hey, the title alone, it sounds... But Team Carnival?
What was Spirit of Kindness about, by the way? Like, what was that episode? I don't remember that. It was Jungle Fury? Did Casey have a bad American accent? Okay.
Hold on, let's check it out.
Is it the one where he's, like, randomly, like, the master of his own dojo of kids?
It says, okay, remember the bad guy's name is Widger? Wiggs?
Whoa.
What?
I don't know how to say that.
Weiger. It was Weiger.
Weiger.
It was Weiger.
Yes, Weiger. Yeah.
Weiger was only able to steal the tiger spirit from Casey, but not destroy Casey. For his failure, Daishi strips him of his power, and he is to fade away, as the synopsis says. Casey shows his kindness to that bad guy, even though they were just battling. That bad guy rethinks which side he should be on. He helps Casey save his friends, who have been captured along with all the other people in giant rat traps.
Oh, I vaguely remember that.
I remember the giant rat traps. I do remember that.
Yeah. I remember RJ had something sassy to say about that.
Mm-hmm. Clearly, very Christmassy.
It's in the middle of an arc. That's so dumb.
If you buy the crappy Super Samurai episode, Christmas episode on DVD, it comes with Alpha's Magical Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
It also comes with Forever Friends.
Which one is that?
MMPR.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that the other racist episode?
I thought that was the one where they sang songs. I thought that was the one that was Here We Fly High at Angel Grove High.
Mm.
Oh, no, wait. It's the one where the... yeah, you're right. It is the one.
Yes!
Yeah. With, yes!
Is that the rich friends?
Doesn't like Aisha.
Quote, unquote, rich friends. Doesn't like Aisha for some reason.
Mm. Yeah, some unexplained reason.
Ah, racism.
It's a holiday tradition.
What about on the first Samurai DVD? Wait, what came on that one?
Hold on, I am in the tab.
The holiday season just brings out some feeling. Yeah. Really want to give it to people. Yeah.
Are we going to go for the trifecta of racism? Are we going
okay.
to go?
It says includes three holiday episodes. That's a good start. Dang it, it's not on the cover like it was in the other ones. It comes with the dreaming of a White Ranger and A Season to Remember. Right there.
Oh, hey.
They actually got it right.
Yes. You watch the garbage episode that's on the cover, and then you watch the two good ones.
Didn't they do something similar with, what was it, Samurai's Party Monsters, where they had like two other Halloween episodes on there? I think that happened.
Probably. And I think with Samurai, they actually had it together. They actually had here it is, Monster Bash. It includes two episodes from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Da-da-da. It includes Trick or Treat and Life's a Masquerade.
Oh!
You did the right thing!
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're buying Season 1 Samurai DVDs, they know what they're doing. Otherwise,
racism.
Well, now we've done their job for them and sold them some extra DVDs.
I'm sorry. If anybody's buying these DVDs, what is wrong with you? Buy the box set.
Or, you know.
No. Don't be that person. Like, I understand completism. I get it. I understand that you want it. Don't.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Don't give them your money like that.
Oh, the cover has a jack-o'-lantern, but the face is the symbol from Jaden's helmet.
Ooh.
Someone had to Photoshop that bad boy.
So, hey, Ninja Steel. Not looking forward to Super Ninja Steel.
Nope. You know. Sledge time, though. Hey, Sledge, that'll be a thing.
So what have you learned, Tristan? What have you learned from this episode?
I've learned that I made the right decision.
How dare you?
And not watching this crap. Oh, wow.
I feel like our recap episode was better than the actual recap episode.
I mean, I believe it. I believe it. So. The show wasn't great before, so, you know, I think I'm going to be sticking to my plan. And I'll check back in with Ninja Steel if they decide to be a show. My fingers are not crossed.
I don't appreciate the lack of enthusiasm that you have for this.
I don't appreciate the lack of show that they are putting on.
Listen, I am not 100% in love with your tone right now.
You know what?
if we have to suffer, then I think you should.
But the thing is, you don't have to, actually. Listen,
as true fans.
Oh. Capital T, capital S.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'll pull that one out.
So I don't have to ask what we're rating this episode, right? Like, I don't have to ask.
I'll give it a rating of better than racism.
Better.
Slightly racism. Better than racism.
So, so this marks the end of Ninja Steel.
Uh-huh.
The end.
Yep.
And then we'll get Super Duper Ninja Steel. They didn't mention a premiere date.
No.
Right? No, but it's usually like February or late January, yeah. Something like that.
Was there like a promo?
January's, you know.
So. Yeah. Hold on. Let me check. Power Rangers, Ninja Steel. Let me just see when the first episode aired. And that will be our barometer. First episode aired on January 21st. Yes. January 21st. So, yep.
Yeah, all right.
So, Ninja Steel, I will say this about you, Ninja Steel. Out of all of the seasons of Power Rangers, you were the most recent.
He's the most recent.
Yes.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, Ninja Steel, you are not as bad as Samurai.
Are we still going back to that well?
Yeah.
We're still doing that?
Not Samurai, not Megaforce. Hold on to what you can. Don't give up your hopes and dreams, kids. Keep reaching for the stars. Not the power stars, but the stars in general.
Yeah, I mean, you're not... you're not...
Just stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
People say better than Samurai and Megaforce. And, like, on one hand, I totally agree with that. Like, I totally get it. But on the other, like, at least those were bad in, like, ways that you could really sit down and, like, have a discussion about. You know what I mean? Like, they were bad in interesting ways.
Not after a while.
No. Actually,
after a while.
No. Let me flip that a little bit. Samurai was just, like, out and out bad. Like, it was just like, oh, this is terrible. Yeah. Like, Super Megaforce was interesting bad. Because it was, what's going on?
But remember, we're supposed to love Super Megaforce because we got to see Tommy and Astronema Hair. So it's amazing!
So, but like Ninja Steel is just like a void of nothing where they have a few good ideas, but everything's just bad. It's just bad. Like, oh my God, this was rough. This was a rough season to get through.
I really like the girls though. I think that's my thing. Is I just like the girls. Like they there's potential there. Both of them, especially Haley.
But the thing is, with Megaforce 2, there were a couple of Rangers that we actually liked. And the same thing here, there are a couple of Rangers that we actually like. And so they're like, to me, Megaforce and Ninja Steel are like on par with each other. And that's
they are. Yeah.
That's not much. So.
Well, also, then, Brody, worst Red Ranger? Worst Red Ranger? Maybe.
Can't say that.
This is epic.
Who's worse?
No, because.
Can I say Oracle?
No, oh, come on. That's what I don't want.
No, but here's the thing, right? Like, Jaden just.
Jaden.
There. Like, there's nothing to say.
Wax in face.
Yes. You know, Troy. Except for like
later in the
game when he was pulling faces, but he was also just there and there's nothing to say, you know? So Brody is kind of like is a bad Tyler. You know what I'm saying? Like he's a bad version of Tyler. Like Tyler, he had his moments where I don't need to hear your catchphrase every 2 seconds, right? But the character made up for like all the other stuff that I may not have liked. Okay, fine. But Brody is just like a poor man's Tyler. See what I'm saying? But like, at least we got something to say. Like,
I guess that's my question is, what do you consider worse? A character who like doesn't even exist whatsoever, just plain sucks, or a character who might have moments but in character makes some really stupid decisions time and time again?
I guess at the end of the day, you have to look at what's presented, you know?
Yeah, because like when I look at Red Rangers that are just jerks, I look at people like Jack, who's a jerk, who does stupid things many times. Like, Brandon's an entertaining actor. I like the character. So I would probably rank him ahead because while he makes some really awful decisions, the actor is still good in the role, as opposed to Brody, who doesn't do as stupid of things, but he's just sinfully dull.
Jack would make me feel something. Like, I would have some kind of view, you know, other than why are you here, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's the thing is I think on paper Jack does a lot of stupid things that time and time again proves he's not a worthy Red Ranger, but at least he has some sort of intrigue behind him as a character.
And he's a good he's a good example of like you have Jack and Scott, right, who I would deem somewhat similar, you know, not because they're both black, but whatever. There's someone, you know, but like, you know, both, and you know, it could be jerk offs, and it's fine, whatever. But, but then, you know, I prefer Jack over Scott, even though, they both can be like, you know, jerks and stuff or whatever. I just didn't agree with a lot of Scott's whiny ways, you know. Like, I'm not. You know, but at least I could say, oh, I don't agree with Scott's whiny ways because he did X, Y, and Z.
Right.
He had ways. He had ways.
What am I going to say about Brody? Like, what's
epic.
Yeah. Someone can say, like, I like Scott, and you can say, I don't like Scott. And then you guys can actually have a discussion and bring up points of things that the character did over the course of the season. Brody, you just sit there and say, he was the Red Ranger because they said so. He said epic a lot, and that's about it.
That sort of puts him on the same level as Jaden, who was also still like, I'm the leader of I'm the white samurai.
Well, and that's what I'm saying, is someone like a Brody and a Jaden have about the same amount of characterization as an Orko. Like, it's not that different.
Orko
wasn't supposed to have a character and existed for a handful of episodes.
Yeah.
But then so, I have more. There's more anger with Brody than with Jaden. True. Like with Jaden, I'm just like, there's nothing to say. You do a thing. You do a right thing. You're there, and you.
He wasn't like offensively bad. He was not like the worst. He wasn't like, you know. He was like, okay, whatever. This whole season sucks. Who cares? Brody, they had the whatever to actually give him a cool backstory that they then did absolutely nothing with.
Squandered potential. Yeah.
And by cool backstory, I mean all the stuff on the ship. That whole like 10-year missing father thing was garbage.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Lord, we could go on forever ranking Red Rangers. I think that was one of the first things Lisa and Katie and I did was actually rank Red Rangers. But yeah.
Yeah. We're just bring it all back, y'all.
I remember that back in the day. I think that was one of our first marathon sessions too, where we were up to like 3 or 4 in the morning just ranking Red Rangers. Oh, good times.
I mean, you know, it is not a topic that, guess, because you just keep adding more Red Rangers, you guys. Now it's Mink. Yeah. Do we have to rate Mink too?
We have a Red Ranger named Dane now. That's great.
Oh, yeah. Brody's father is the worst Red Ranger.
So where is he?
Yeah, where is like, he in this episode?
What is his status? Like, what is, yeah. Hmm.
Cool. Maybe he's out. Maybe he's down at the DMV reestablishing his identity.
Okay. That's a very good question, Tristan, because we don't know where he is, because he was nowhere in this episode.
Okay.
At all. Did not appear at all.
Maybe he's at the cemetery saying, you should get rid of that gravestone because I'm not dead. You never know.
Hmm.
Yeah. I was in a star for 10 years. It happens.
So yeah. Well, I guess we'll find out or not in Super Ninja Steel.
Oh, we await it with bated breath. I think that's the saddest part, is knowing that we're likely only like 6 weeks away from new episodes.
Yeah, yeah. Take your Christmas present when you can get it. All right, 6 weeks with no Ninja Steel. It's a good time.
Yeah. The mid-season break is longer than the season-to-season break.
Oh, Jesus.
That is so weird. Yeah.
It is. And I think that's ridiculous.
Isn't that what it was? They aired like 8 episodes, too, and then they went to mid-season break. That was, they didn't air very many.
I think it's...
It was like a 5-month break.
It is quite ridiculous how...
Let me see.
Why don't you just have normal seasons start normally? Like, normal.
Yeah. Yeah, they aired 5 episodes, and then you're right, they aired 8 episodes and then a 5-month break. Yeah.
Like, why don't you just premiere episodes in the fall, like normal, you know? Then you have your regular mid-season break, like normal, and then you end it in spring.
Well, most shows don't start new episodes until the middle of February. And then they stop around the middle of May.
Which most shows? You mean Nickelodeon?
Well, I mean shows on broadcast TV in general. That's what they tend to do.
No. A lot of shows, they premiere in the fall.
Right, right. I'm saying that their break schedule, though, is like they wouldn't be airing up new episodes in January.
Oh, right. Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
They would have waited a month to start airing episodes compared to Ninja Steel, and then they would have aired for an extra month beyond what Ninja Steel did. And then they wouldn't have started again until the end of September, not the beginning of August. So, yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe they have their sign. I mean, I'm sure Nickelodeon has a formula for all this with all their shows. But it still feels weird.
Well, for the Power Rangers.
Yeah. Again, it's a show on Noon that they don't advertise, so I don't know how much they care.
I don't know. Maybe the show in its current form needs to fall to the wayside, and then, you know, a better version of the show needs to rise again on like a Netflix or
Power Rangers Legendary Defenders. Let's go. Animated.
Done by DreamWorks.
You know,
Or just an actual show. Like, just that's Power Rangers.
I want an animated episode of Power Rangers Legendary Defenders where they go to an outer space mall. That's everything in there is from 1993 and looks kind of Power Rangers-y. Like, literally, the food court needs to look like the juice bar. It'll be amazing.
Well, I agree with Tristan. I want a show. I would like a show.
I
love people when they're talking about, like, oh, what it will happen if they adapt Q-Ranger, and they're like, oh, you know, In Space and Dark Spectre and blah. I mean, guys, stop.
Oh, you think they're going to reference old seasons? That's adorable.
Yeah. I'm like, stop,
but if
stop.
They do,
like,
they'll completely ruin it.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. There was a reference to an old season in this episode.
That's right.
Okay? Because Brody, when he was gigantified, okay? He was just like, wait a minute. I'm a size of my mega sword. Wait, that'll make me a mega ranger.
Oh,
stop it.
Oh,
no, I hate you.
But, like, these people who want, like, all this continuity and stuff, I mean, no. You have to have a good show first before you can attempt to build on something from the past. You need to have a workable show that acts like a TV show. Just having continuity does not make a good show. Just like in this season, there was that dumb thing where, like, on one of Cosmo Royale's screens, it said, like, Eltarian silk. People are like, oh my god, it's a Emily. I don't give a shit about a reference. If it's in a bad season. It's in a bad season. And it doesn't matter then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you have to have good characters and a good story. Like, they could literally never do continuity in Power Rangers again, which is not what I would prefer, but, you know, whatever. I would, you know, give up all continuity in Power Rangers. Every season is its own thing. It's not what I want, but, you know, we're going to go with it here. If just every season has a good story unto itself with good characters, good action, good stakes, good character development, that's all I need. Continuity is, like, secondary. Even if the show was rock star amazing, it should not lean so heavily on continuity that it affects the story.
Yeah, correct. I would be completely fine with that. This, like, quality is the most important thing. References are just, you know, that's extra.
Yeah.
That's icing.
References are, yeah, remember that, people. References are not continuity. Just saying the name of something does not, you know, get my panties in a bunch excited over it, okay?
Well, it was the same thing in this episode when, what was it, Preston did his little, like, you know, ninja dance pose. Mm-hmm. Like, stop that, dude. Stop that in this show. I don't need that in here. Get out of here.
Yeah. Just pretending that footage, you know, we always go back to pretending that footage of Mystic Mother is Rita does not get us excited. Not in the slightest. It does the opposite.
So. Yeah, like, and at this point with Power Rangers, you know, to quote the ever so wonderful Parody Rangers, do you know how many continuity errors the show has already? Like, don't even bother at this point. All right, Power Rangers continuity makes no sense. Dinosaurs are real. Like, whatever. Dinosaurs are back in our time. Like, nothing makes sense anymore. Don't bother. Just have every season be like a season unto itself, or make a very clean break, clearly establish this is a new universe, and then build up from there. Like, the old stuff is dead. It's all dead now.
I mean, I definitely would, like, listen, if it was possible to, like, wave a wand and make Q-Ranger be the thing that's, like, Power Rangers in Space type, you know, where it just uses all of everything and it's actually quality, then
that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I opt for that. But if the level of quality I know is going to be similar to Ninja Steel, then please don't bother. Like, please.
Yeah, like, don't even try.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because, like, look, in a perfect world, Q-Ranger adaption is, like, one of them is from Edenoi, one of them's, like, a Kurovian, one of them's, like, a Triforian, you know, like, that, all that nonsense.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, like, I would be so into that. But if they attempted to do it, they would bungle it badly, or you just know the season's going to suck, straight up.
Yeah.
fans are getting themselves all hyped. They're like, it could be great. It's like, dude, I don't know how to tell you guys this, but the track record is not like, if the show is suddenly amazing next season, it just makes you wonder, what were you doing this year?
Yeah. God, that means Kelson's going to be a ranger again, isn't he? They just got to put him in more makeup. Still going to be a ranger again. Guarantee it. He's like the Black Ranger. The big ball man or something.
All right. Well, kids, think it's time to
give up all your hopes and dreams because of Ninja Steel.
Yeah, just.
Well, we spoke a lot about Q Ranger. I mean, for those who somehow still don't know the greatness of Q Ranger, you might as well check that one up. Hey, why not?
It's a good show. It's legitimately a fun show.
Yeah, and watch that.
We might even, you know, talk about it, you know, next time you hear us. Hey!
It's possible.
Hey!
Watch that. Go watch Build. Go watch basically anything besides this.
Yeah. Watch Man. That's not too bad.
Yeah, go watch Runaways on Hulu. Go do something.
You know, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I was writing an article for Den and Geek about that show, The Lion Guard, on Disney Junior. Okay? So I watched an episode of The Lion Guard. It's not an amazing show or anything. It's perfectly serviceable. You know, it's meant for four-year-olds, so it's not for me. But I watched that, and after 23 minutes, I messaged my editor, and I said, that was better than Power Rangers. This Disney Junior, you know, preschool-level show I got more entertainment out of and was more of a television program than Power Rangers.
Not surprising, but you know, the state of things.
You know, I mean, anytime that you know, you need a little refresh show, you know, just contact us. It's fine. Mm-hmm. We're here. We are here. We can't solve everything, but we can help solve something. Like, for example, not naming any other Black men Tom ever. Just saying.
That would work.
Just some quality control.
How do you not catch that? How do you not catch
that? Well, when you don't have Black people writing the show, then you wouldn't catch that, Tom.
But I caught that.
Yeah, I caught that too. Jeez. Well, I took a history class.
You need woke people. That would help.
Put it on record. Tristan thinks I'm woke.
Oh, woke status. That means we can say anything now, Jer. We're woke.
I mean, so you're on
the hashtag stay woke
path. You're on the beaten path.
We're walking the path of the woke.
You're not fully woke. You're woke adjacent. Okay.
All right. Yes. we have apprentice woke status.
You will never, ever, ever be able to ever say whatever. No matter where your woke
status I know.
I gotta let the people know.
Okay.
I gotta let the people know.
Okay. I think the people have known over the last dozen years how woke I am.
Oh my god.
Have they? You know, honestly, with Power Rangers, honestly, most of the writers now are from New Zealand, so they don't know about our history.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Well, no, wait a minute. Becca Barnes is. Oh, she is from there.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. Oh, everybody but Judd is from New Zealand, from what I understand.
Just remember, I'm not new to this game. I'm true to this game.
Anyways.
I may have befuddled Lisa into silence.